This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's hot. You know, I have to tell you, it's hot, hot, hot. I mean, you know, when it's 113 and 109, it's pretty dadgum hot, Texas.
Well, it's almost like you've had unprecedented heat and unprecedented situations. But we're used to all the hot, but you're not quite as much as we are. And so, yeah, I didn't know if you were going to come out and say, oh, it's wonderful. And I think you're a liar.
Liar, liar, liar. Oh, my gosh. Well, it is so hot, I can't believe. Then we've got all the fires all over Texas. The ranchers are losing their cattle. What they haven't lost, they're going to have to sell because of the heat. There's not enough water for them. It's in the grass where all these fires are is just gone. So a lot of them are going to have to sell their cattle because there's no grass for them to eat. So times are tough.
Yeah.
This is when Texans are going to have to really tighten their belt and get through this.
Yeah.
A lot of animals have been rescued, a lot of horses. People are bringing them in to stables, in towns. Glen Rose is one of them. And Parker County's had a lot of fires. So, you know, it's dry as a match here. That's all it would take. Somebody light a match, I'm afraid the whole state will go up. So we've got to really be careful about fires right now. Be careful of the heat. If you have to go out, you better take plenty of water, ice water, your sunshades, suntan lotion. I mean, it's drastic measures right now, folks.
I feel bad also for people who work outside.
Yes.
The danger involved with it. It's like, I know that, you know, if we don't have to go outside, we can kind of control it, or we can, you know, not play outside or not, you know, spend a lot of time, don't go running and things like that. But man, if you work outside, you don't have any choice. Jeez.
That's right. And they have to have plenty of ice water. They've got to have wet towels they can put on their head and get cooled down real quick. And that's what doctors recommend. Wet towels around their neck, and then if they get too warm, they've got to immediately get ice and water and get it on their head and cool down.
Jeez.
And they can go to the pickup a lot of times too. Every time you get a chance, go to the pickup, cool down a little bit, and that'll help also.
Yeah. Wow, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like we, as a whole state, have had just some of the most bizarre weather in like the last year and a half. It's just stuff that we don't usually see on this volume.
That's exactly right. And if you remember in February, we started off with that terrible storm, ice storm, and that destroyed a lot of the plants, and everybody's been trying to replant, and now it's so dry. And we've got water rationing.
Yeah. Man.
You know, we're not supposed to use a lot of water. And then they told us on Monday it was to start conserving electricity. They said, if you don't need a light, turn it off. So I had them turn all my lights off at my house during the day and did not use any lights at all.
Yeah. Did you crank your...
At the office, we've got lights up. Yes, I turned the air conditioning up also.
Oh, man. Wow. This is
I'm trying to conserve as much as I can because I don't want the grid to go down and we lose power.
I thought I saw something the other day, and maybe I misread it or I'm misremembering or something, but I thought I saw where, you know, because obviously, you know, firefighters are coming from all over the place to try to help.
Right.
But it seems like I thought I heard where, like, actual citizens were saying, we'll get out and help, and what can we do?
Oh, they have, yes. A lot of just regular people, neighbor to neighbor, are out helping ranchers. In Glen Rose, they've set up all this food for animals as well as people, because they know, you know, your horses, your cows, your emus, your llamas, everything has to have food, and they have to have water. And, you know, when all your food burns up, you've got to take drastic action.
Jeez. Man, not only is all this a safety concern, but then the economic fallout, because, you know, state parks, you know, those are going to start feeling the economic impact of, you know, like closing, things like that.
Yes,
we're in the middle of tourist season.
State parks,
yeah,
temporarily, and this is right in the tourist season when everybody's out traveling.
Man. I mean, I don't, and then, you know, all the, you know, even you take like ranchers, and you take like the, you're talking about the, you know, grass and all that being burned up, or just doesn't have enough water to, and it's just dying on its own. We're going to have to, you know, import, hay and feed and food and things like that. And prices of that are probably going to go up anytime something like this happens. And there's a large demand for stuff like that or anything. The prices go up, supply and demand stuff. And so then, you know, there's that economic fallout from it as well.
Well, and I talked to a guy that grows lots and lots of hay, and he said, you know, all of our fertilizer comes from Europe. It comes from Ukraine. It comes from Czechoslovakia, Slovakia, all these other places. We're not making fertilizer in Texas. I did not know that, that all of our fertilizer is imported. And they said there's such a shortage of it, and it's went up 1,000%.
Jeez.
So, you know, unless you're pretty big, you may not be able to afford all this fertilizer that they use on their crops every year.
Man.
So, you know, this could affect us all the way through this year, I'm afraid.
It's almost like we're getting, you know, we're kind of like backed in a corner and kind of like burning the candle at both ends and kind of getting squeezed, or however you want to phrase it. It's just
we are getting squeezed. There's
yeah.
any doubt about it.
Wow.
And then we're getting squeezed at the gas pump.
Oh.
yeah. But now remember, Texans are resilient.
Yeah.
We're resilient people. We'll figure a way out of this. There's got to be a silver lining. We're just going to have to start looking for it. I haven't found it, but I'm sure looking.
Well, now we count on Saturday mornings for you to find the silver lining in just about anything. So,
that's right. Oh, my God.
That's a lot of pressure, I know.
Well, let me ask you this. On National Ice Cream Day, did you eat all the ice cream you ever desired?
I didn't eat as much as I had planned, but last Sunday, yes, I was aware, and so we did go out and get a couple of sundaes throughout the day, and so and we were looking for excuses. We thought, yeah, you know, it's National Ice Cream Day. What are we going to do? We have no choice, and so
right. You have to eat ice cream. I ate ice cream several times that day. Also, I discovered that Bluebell has a lot of new flavors.
Really?
That we didn't know about because we haven't been going to the grocery store. They have all kinds of new flavors.
Wow.
And let me report what Häagen-Dazs cost. You know that little pint they sell?
Yeah.
It's $7 now.
Good Lord.
$7 for a pint of Häagen-Dazs. Wow, folks.
Oh, man.
Hard times are upon us, let me tell you.
Yeah, but it is still worth it, though. I haven't quite hit that line. It's that place where it's like, you know, I'm not quite sure, but then it's like, once in a while, you know. I mean, we're talking about ice cream for goodness
sakes. That's right. Ice cream is so good that we can't give it up just because it's high.
No.
You're going to have to save somewhere else, folks.
Wow. Yeah, come back someplace else. We have to keep the ice cream budget intact. or else we're in trouble.
That's right. I mean, ice cream is important.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, Slurpees are still important. You know, children love Slurpees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this month they're on sale at 7-Eleven.
Really? Oh.
Yes. They are on sale for two little kids. I think it's $2.50. You know, $1.25 a piece.
Yeah.
Did you know the correct way to do a Slurpee is you put the lid on and then fill it? You don't fill it and then put the lid on, because if you do it that way, you get a lot more Slurpee in your cup.
Really? I didn't know
that.
Wow.
Well, there's some things you have to learn. that way you get a huge amount of Slurpee.
Wow.
If you just put the lid on, it's got that hole in the middle, then you fill it through that hole, and you'll get a lot more. A lot of people didn't understand what the hole's for, you know, other than a straw. But that's to make it a lot more.
Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at you.
Well, you know,
man.
I know. Wow. The important things in life I know about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that are important to know, okay?
It's important to keep our priorities in straight so we know what's important.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, the good things in life, it's important to know about them.
Yeah, Slurpees, ice cream, getting the most out of your delicious children's beverage.
Yes, and hot dogs are on sale at Sonic this week. Now, you know, these are the really important things. Making money with your investments, that's important.
Yeah.
But Slurpees and ice cream and hot dogs, this is what makes America. We have to keep America running.
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Wow.
You know?
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It's
got a lot of good things on there, a lot of good references on there. It's got information about policies coming due, what they made, whether they were on time, a lot of information like that. Then the other thing, if you need more information, you call and say, Faye, I want to know about these investments. A gentleman called the other day. He said, I've been listening to your ads for years. He said, I listened to your show. He said, I think I'm ready.
Really?
I said, okay. Yeah. And I said, do I need to go over it with you? No, go over it with my wife. He said, let me get her on the phone. So I talked to both of them at one time.
Oh, wow.
And the wife had some questions because she wasn't familiar with this. She said, well, first of all, she said, I'm a little bit squeamish about buying a policy from someone, you know, that's going to die. I said, you're helping them. They need medical treatment. They wouldn't be selling their policy if they didn't need the money. I said, otherwise, they'd leave it to their heirs.
Yeah.
So she said, well, I guess that's right. She had never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So then they asked me about having extra money. I told them, under their circumstances, they need $50,000 to $75,000 cash in the bank for emergencies. So I told them we couldn't invest all of it. We've got to leave some for emergencies. So we did that. So there's just all kinds of things happening. People coming over, bringing money. I got a note from a gentleman the other day. He said, I'm thinking about bringing over several hundred thousand. He said, do you think it's a good idea? I sent him a note back. Yes, it's a good idea. Yes, it would be favorable.
It would be favorable.
Yes, it would be favorable. Then I have a client that called, wanted me to go over all of her policies. She's had about 8 or 9 maturities, but now she's got some that are past due. She said, when I listen to you on Saturdays, I always think, when you're saying this policy matured or that policy matured, that you'll call my name. She said, I want you to call my name and say my policy is matured. So when one of her policy materials, I'm going to say her name out loud. Yeah, I'm going to say, so-and-so's in this policy. That'll embarrass her.
I'm sure she'll find it funny.
She will find it funny because she'll know that I want her to get the news first.
Yeah.
You know, ahead of everybody else. I'll announce it on the air. Oh, me. Oh, but, you know, we do have an awful lot of policies in transit right now. We're waiting on different aspects like the certified death certificate, all kinds of things. But we've never had this much money at one time, you know, waiting to for the policies return to get here. You know, it's $5.5 million that people have coming. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
Yes. And then we're bidding on a lot of policies. We were awarded one yesterday. I'm hoping that Monday and Tuesday we're awarded all these others that we've really been trying to get. And the premiums are low, low, low. One gentleman told me the other day, he said, I'm putting an extra $150,000 in. He said, and I've heard you talk about those low premiums. That's what I want, one with those low premiums. And I said, okay.
Wow. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, the when you were, I guess maybe a couple of years ago, you were talking about, you know, premiums, you know, very low, but now you're looking at premiums even, it's kind of like you, the needle has moved a little bit, the goalpost has moved. And so you're looking at policies that have even lower premiums than what you historically were looking at before.
Oh, yes. These are a lot, these are very, very low, less than 1%. Hmm. Several of them are less than 1%. So that, you know, that makes it really a good thing. The policies are good. I've got one that the lady is on morphine four times a day.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's on morphine, folks, for her cancer. And we haven't had one on morphine in several years. But when they're on morphine or oxycodone, they're in dreadful pain. I've read all the medical, by the way, on every one we've got right now. I personally read all the medical. On this lady, it's metastasized in her ribs and her spine. She'd had breast cancer originally, and they think that's come back in addition to the cancers in all these other places. And she's on morphine, and this is another thing I read. Her doctor spent 25 minutes with her discussing her end-of-life decisions.
Oh, wow.
And she changed everything over to her sister because she thought her sister, rather than her husband, would be able to handle this. Hmm. But and we haven't had anybody in a long time that the doctor has sat down and said, let's discuss the end-of-life decisions.
Wow. Boy, that's jarring.
So it is very jarring. I haven't had that in a long time where they're discussing that. Usually they're not even asking you if you have all the final decisions made. But he spent 25 minutes discussing that. So you know what position he's in. He's telling her, you must be prepared.
Yeah.
And yet, the LA doesn't show as short as it should. So I've ordered another LA because I believe that this is going to be fairly short.
And is this one of the new policies, or is this?
This is one of the new policies we're bidding right now.
Wow.
It's in the bids. But I've got four policies I'm bidding. They're all good policies. Premiums are low. Everybody needs to be reinvested. Let's don't just sit there with all this cash. Get it reinvested, get your money working, make a little bit of extra money.
And so with this $5 million you were referring to a minute ago, that's policies that have matured that you're just waiting for?
We're just waiting for the money to get to the bank.
Okay.
We're waiting to know that the death certificates have been sent in. We're waiting to get all the package together for the insurer to get it paid.
It seems like there's almost like an abundance of policies right now, like available to bid on, like good ones. Is that
never too many? Let me tell you, because remember the bids are tight.
Yeah.
they wanted me to go up on one year. See, I said, we're at the end. We can't go up anymore. So somebody else bought it. But the others, yesterday I was able to go up. So I think we've got that one bought.
Hmm. So when you start bidding on policies, how much wiggle room do you leave? Because I know that, you know, sometimes they'll come back and they'll say, you know, can you come up? And you're like, no. And then sometimes when it goes, it's just, you know, fine. You're at the end of, you know, that profit margin. And once that gets too small, there's no really point because there's not enough profit in it to even, you know, pursue it any further. So that's a good thing for investors. But how much wiggle room do you leave when you typically start bidding on policies?
It's probably 2%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've bid it as hard as we can. We bid it what we really think we can do, what the client's got to make, what our premium escrow is, what we're going to make. And, of course, out of ours, we've got to pay all the overhead, which, you know, is a lot because we're paying so many people. You know, we pay the trustee. The bank, we pay 21st Services to track policies. So there's a lot of expense. So if you can't make anything, there's no use doing it.
So you don't go in with your absolute best offer, but pretty close. You're pretty much spot on with the initial bid.
Yeah, we're pretty tight on the bids. Hmm. Now, every once in a while, there's some room. And if we've got room, we will go up to try to get that policy. And we know that the broker is telling the owner of the policy, oh, we can get a lot more, we can get a lot more. But when they get to a certain point, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
If they get it too high, everybody's going to walk. We had one offered this week that we were offered 6 months ago.
Really?
And and we didn't get it. Somebody bought it. Now they want to resell it. But now it's so high, I don't think anybody can. I think they're going to have to keep it.
Wow. So it's almost like they're trying to flip it.
They're trying to flip it. They bought it to flip it, and now they're having trouble flipping it because they bought it too high.
Is that
they
normal?
They outbid us when we bid it 6 months ago.
Ooh.
And we knew that we couldn't go any higher, but they did. They bought it. Now they're stuck with it because I don't think anybody's going to take it now.
Wow.
I think it's just too high.
Because
everybody knows, you know, you've got to make a certain amount to pay your bills.
Yeah, you got to cover your overhead and all that.
Yeah, you got to cover overhead. And if you get below that, there's no use doing it. That's why a lot of people won't buy the small policies, because it takes as much work on a small policy as it does a big one.
Hmm.
And a lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's that's an interesting perspective. I'd never thought about that before.
You have to do the same work on any policy you do. There's a lot of work, and your expenses is the same on a big one as a little one. So a lot of people won't bid the small ones.
Wow.
So lots of times we can get a small one. Although we lost a small one this week. Somebody really wanted it.
Really?
Yeah. But when they figure what their expense is going to be on it, I don't think they're going to make much.
Are the smaller policies more competitive, or do most people go viciously after the larger ones?
No, they don't go after the small ones. Lots of times we can pick up a small one, and there isn't a lot of people bidding against us. But this week, I don't know why, the small policies were really being bid high. I couldn't understand it. Still don't understand it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I see what you're saying, though, with, you know, because if you're using the same resources, you know, the expenses are still the same. You're still looking at that profit margin to make sure that's still in check. But yeah, if there's not a large amount of profit that comes from it, then all your time and effort kind of gets sucked up in all the resources, and there's not a whole lot left with smaller policies.
That's exactly right.
Man, I'd never really looked at it like that. I never even thought about it, really.
Yeah. Well, you have to think about that, because they charge us on every policy we do to track it. So we have to pay for tracking. We have to pay for the trustee to handle it. There's four or five people we have to pay to do this. So, you know, if it's real tight, it's not worth doing because you're not going to make anything. Not going to make enough to pay all those extra people. And then sometimes we can find one that a lot of people are bidding because it's the big companies coming in. So then we can get it. So it's a competitive business. There's a lot of people in it. A lot of people are bidding against us. And a lot of them are keeping it for themselves. Then a lot of them are thinking, well, we'll resell that down the road. And sometimes they can, and sometimes they can't. Depends what they paid for.
Wow. And those those fees and expenses, they're just flat fees and expenses. They're not based on percentages, so it doesn't fluctuate. It's what it sounds like.
That's right. That's right. They charge so much policy to cover them. They cover so much policy to make inquiries. I mean, they've got all these fees. And 21st charges about $18,000 a month for their services.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So you've got to have a lot of policies, you know, that you can cover that.
Wow. And then after you consider all the expenses and fees and whatnot, you're still weighing that against, you know, the profit margin. Man, you are really juggling a lot of, you know, things at the same time to make sure that these are you're bidding on profitable policies. Good Lord, I didn't realize
that's right.
It was so much.
And it's intense right now. A lot of people are needing policies. So, you know, we're having to work hard, and we are working hard. We're checking every bit of the medical. I'm reading every bit of the medical to see if it's a good enough policy. I turned one down this week. I don't believe the person was sick enough.
Mm. And that's one of the things that matters as well. You know, you're looking at...
That matters more than anything. How sick that person is the key to this whole thing.
Yeah.
They better be sick when we buy the policy and getting sicker.
If they're playing golf,
and
it's
that reminds
not something
me,
to bid on.
21st Services told me this week that one of our policies might be fixing to mature, that a relative had sent in a deal and said the person was near death.
Really?
So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Huh.
It's a $1 million policy.
Oh, it's a big one.
It is, and a lot of people are in it, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not. That's why we're not going to give you the name of the policy, because it'd be my luck that the relative is wrong.
Yeah.
This is a policy where the person did alternative medicine and wasn't as sick as she should have been, and we've been, you know, really keeping up with it hard. And now they say this person is the cancer has spread to the lung, and the person's having trouble breathing, and they believe, the relative anyway, believes it's close at hand.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know. They could be wrong. They've been wrong before. So we'll see.
In
the next, I'd say next month, they're saying 2 weeks. We'll see what happens.
Oh, my word. Oh, wow. That's close. Do you normally get, like, I don't want to call them tip-offs, but I don't know what else to...
No, I've never had a tip-off.
Huh.
I've had the wives call right after the person passes away and say, my husband has passed away, and giving us notice, yes. But I've never had anybody tip us off. But the relative is in charge of this particular person. I believe he's got a power of attorney. And I know when we've checked on this person, it's always a brother we've checked with in the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm. So they may be just like getting ready to get things in order, maybe, and they're just, yeah, I don't know.
We think so. We don't know. I mean, it could be a story. They could just be saying that to get us off their back, because we're inquiring all the time about this person. You know, where's the person at in health-wise? You know, where's our policy at, you know, death-wise? So, you know, we just don't know if we can trust this relative to be telling the truth.
Mm. Okay. All right.
The person is not under any treatment whatsoever.
Oh.
is what we've been told for several months.
Oh, now that's a big sign right there as well.
Yes, usually that's a big sign.
Is it that they just, they're at that stage where it's just not, I don't want to say it's not worth it, but it's not, it's, they know that it's not going to do much good at this point?
Well,
or
the treatment would be worse than the cure on this particular deal.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but the treatment's going to hurt so bad, your hair's going to fall out, all of this, and it's a woman. Mm. And, you know, women do not like that.
Yeah.
When all the hair falls out and people can see it and they have to put on a wig, they don't like that.
Yeah. All right. So there's a doctor.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to think it's their policy. You know that.
Oh, yeah. There's people right now that heard you say that. It goes, oh, geez, a million dollar policy. I wonder, is that mine? Am I in that one? Or
that's exactly right. And I know everybody that's in the policy.
You may be reaching out to people in the next couple of weeks for that particular one, but you won't say which one, which is understandable.
I cannot say. I'm not going to do it because I don't want anybody to be disappointed if it isn't true. And I'm looking here at all the names in it.
Oh, you're looking at it right now. Oh.
I'm sitting here looking at it.
Oh. I didn't know you were going through the document.
Yep, I'm looking at it. I know who all's in it because when I was told this, I got it out and started looking to see who all's in the policy. This lady's 47 years old.
Oh, wow. So you know what's happening right now. People are going through and they're thinking, am I in the policy like this? Does this describe the policy I'm in? You know people are doing that.
That's right. I know it.
Oh, my. All right. Well, I won't ask you any more questions
anyway,
about that because I know what
you
can't
really
tell.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people in it. And if it really happens, we'll announce it. And all these people will get paid. As I said, it's $1 million.
Yeah. It's a big deal. So you may be making an announcement in the next couple of weeks. So,
yeah, if it's really true that this person is, you know, passing on, well, you know, we'll announce it and tell everybody they're going to get paid and the whole deal.
Hmm. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we take a break. We pause for trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
We're going to talk about Land Passes, Texas.
Oh, cool.
Land Passes is an old, old town here in Texas. In fact, the courthouse, which was built in 1884, is on the National Register.
Really?
That's how old this place is. During the Texas Revolution, John Burleson did such a good job during the Revolution, he got 1,280 acres. Can you imagine?
Jeez.
And he's the one that established a permanent settlement in the 1850s. So they named the city first Burleson. And then they changed it to Lampasas Springs. Because of the seven mineral springs there.
Mm.
That's what they're famous for. So the county was created in 1856. But the county seat should be the same as the county. So they changed it to Lampasas in 1883. Now, the Texas Almanac states that the word came from a Spanish word for lilies. Because all these streams there. Another source said the word comes from a Spanish name, Lampazos. So the name was given to the local river by the Spanish expedition in 1729.
Oh, good Lord.
It's believed the name was inspired by a Mexican town that also had beautiful springs. And also, it's the birth of the Farmer's Almanac.
Really?
Did you know the Farmer's Almanac was found in 1876 in Lampasas, Texas?
I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's cool.
And then they had the Mother's Day flood of 1957 on Sulphur Creek. That's the river that runs through the whole thing. It devastated the city. It claimed five lives, destroyed the homes, businesses, and all the property in downtown Lampasas. And so then they had to build all these levees and reservoirs to prevent damage from water because of this creek. And then 1972, they started having an annual fair, and they called it the Spring Hoe Festival.
Mm.
Yeah, but their claim to fame is they had all these mineral springs for health spas, and it was going to cure everything.
Yeah.
So they had a 25-bed, it's called Rollins Brook Community Hospital, and two doctors started, Herbert Bailey Rollins and M. Brooks. So in 1957, it was the smallest hospital in Texas.
Hmm.
Then they sold it for a profit state provider, and everybody was coming there to get the cure. Well, in 1991, they declared bankruptcy, closed their doors without notice. Well, the townspeople got mad. They raised $600,000 to reclaim their facility.
Wow.
So they reopened it in 1991. It's the only hospital that's ever survived bankruptcy.
Really?
And it was so famous, it was broadcast by ABC News with Peter Jennings.
Wow.
Because it came back from bankruptcy, and a hospital has never done that. No hospital's ever done that.
That's cool.
So the Sulphur Creek, which flows all the way through it, you can smell the sulfur, by the way. They kept it going, and in 2005, they even added a new surgical wing. But they don't claim to cure everything now. That's gone. They don't anymore. They don't say that these springs are cure-all, and if you come there, you're going to be cured. So then, to make matters better, they, as I said, everybody takes a dip in these natural springs, and it's going to heal them. Well, not only do they have a historic courthouse, it says the pie will make your eyes roll back in your head.
Oh, really?
But then they decided the Hannah Springs Sculpture Garden was going to be built in Campbell Park. And this is for everybody to go and see, and it's a great deal. The first thing you'll see is an old rusty truck. It's got a giant metal catfish stretching from the windshield to beyond the tailgate.
Really?
Yeah. And like an old shoe, water out of the ground, and even though it smells, it goes into a large pond because it's got all that sulfur. So in 2005, they decided it's time to add a little flash to the park. And they commissioned these artists to carve all these large limestone sculptures. There's a couch, a gateway, and the others is open to interpretation. And this creative started to flow faster than the springs. They now have 20 sculptures, ranging from an abstract spinning shape to a painted tractor that kids can climb on. It's like walking through the garden and letting your mind wander. So it's a delight to see all this. They call it something fishy.
Clever.
It is clever. But Lampas has got all the this garden of sculptures. They've had all these artists do. It's unusual. It won't be like a Dallas sculpture. It's not real refined like that. You know, they've made it intentionally old and charming. Kids can play on the sculptures. They can crawl on that old truck and the old tractor and all these things. But it gives the town a lot of charm, in addition to that sulfur creek that is smelly but supposed to cure everybody.
If it smells bad, it must be good for you.
That's right. That old sulfur, you know, smells bad, but it'll cure anything.
Wow.
And, you know, it's funny that they would have raised $600,000 to keep this old hospital going. It only had 25 beds originally, you know.
Jeez.
But apparently it brought in a lot of people, brought in revenue. And now they have a new surgical wing. And I couldn't believe it. Made ABC News with Peter Jennings, you know, in Lamb Passes, Texas.
That is pretty cool. Know? That's neat.
It is pretty cool. And made it stand out among all the other towns. And, of course, if they hadn't built all these levees and all this, this town would still be underwater, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. And their courthouse is a beautiful old courthouse. And as I said, it's on the National Registry, and it is really pretty. But this old town is really old, and Farmer's Almanac started there. I mean, a lot of things happened there. There's only about 7,000 people that live there.
Wow. Sounds like a really ideal town. And that courthouse, it was built in 1884, right? And it's still there, and you can go tour it and see it.
It's still there. You can tour it. It's a gorgeous old thing. They completed, as I said, in 1884. And in 1971, they added to the National Register of Historic Places. But it's just a little charming place. As I said, the Spanish word, they think, for lilies is how they got the name Lampasas.
Wow. How cool. And, you know, I would imagine it seems like any time, like back in the 1800s, whenever they would announce, you know, hey, we found these miracle springs, people would just like flood from all over the place to go, you know, to get in the water and get the healing powers of the springs. And so I would imagine it was probably a very hustling, bustling place back then with everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody heard about it. They came for the cure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so that really helped the, you know, the economy there.
Yeah.
Having those old springs. And then, of course, as I said, the Farmer's Almanac was fine. You know, in 1876, you wouldn't think way back then you would have anything like that.
Yeah, and it's just I've never even thought about where the Farmer's Almanac even started, or how, but or where. So, but to, you know, put a time and a place on it, that's pretty cool. I didn't ever really even think about it, and so that's
yeah, most of us haven't. So it is a neat place, a place everybody should go. You know, on our trail of all the different places. You know, do you know what the population of Texas is?
The whole state?
The whole state. What would you guess?
I don't even know. I want to say 200 million. No, that's ridiculous.
28 million people live
28
in Texas.
Million. Wow. Man.
28 million people.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Jeez.
If it wasn't so big, you'd notice it. But as big as Texas is, nobody even notices that there's 28 million people living here.
If it wasn't so big, you wouldn't notice it.
That's right. If it wasn't so big, you'd notice it.
Wow.
But it is so big, nobody notices it.
Yeah, because we're spread out so far. But man,
we are spread so far.
Jeez.
Yeah. The land is so big, we have plenty of room. But I am hearing stories about all these people moving in. Of course, you know, Chevron's going to come in. They're going to the coast. That'll be a huge deal. Up here at Sherman, we've got this $5 billion chip deal going in. So there's going to be a lot more people in Texas.
Yeah, people moving here from
all over. A lot of businesses
are,
yeah. They're moving here because the other states like California, the taxes are high. The crime is unbelievable,
yeah.
And nobody's doing anything about it. People are moving from Chicago. You know, the companies are. They're moving to Florida because of the crime.
Jeez.
So, you know, Texas is a safe place to live.
Yeah.
And also, we don't have all the rules, all the regulations. It's still kind of, you know, Texans say drive friendly. That's one of their slogans, you know.
Yeah.
Drive friendly.
Unless you're on the 35.
And then, unless you're on 35 and just get off of 35. Stay on the access road, folks. Don't drive on it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they announced this week 35 is so deadly that they're putting sheriff, deputies, everybody on 35 to try to stop the deaths.
Lord.
There's a death at least two, three times a week on 35. It is so dangerous.
Wow, I didn't realize it gotten that bad.
Jeez. It is bad. And these little cars are swerving in and out. Then the big trucks are hitting them. It's killing people every day.
Boy.
And usually you just had wrecks on 35. Now you're having all these deaths on 35.
Wow.
And a gentleman that I know real well, he said this week, he said, Faye, I've always driven 35. He said, I've done it the last time. He said he was almost killed just exiting.
Jeez.
He said, it's so dangerous. He said he couldn't believe how dangerous it was.
Wow.
And it's speed. It's the speed. Nobody will slow down. And they're running into each other and killing each other. So somebody's got to put a stop to that.
Is there anything they can do about it? Anything, any talk of doing something? Or?
Well, they just said they were going to start patrolling it really hard and trying to slow everybody down.
Wow. Well, I hope that works.
Jeez. I do, too, because I'm not going to drive on it.
Yeah, no
there's
way.
There's a lot of ways to do this, folks, without getting on 35.
But other than that, this is a great place to be.
That's right. It's a great place to be. Texas is wonderful. The people are wonderful. We love Texas.
I wonder if there's any corporations in New Jersey that are moving here.
Oh, I hope not. If the people from New Jersey come, we're in trouble, let me tell you. We're in deep trouble. Oh, my gosh.
I love to throw in a little New Jersey bomb every once in a while because I know how
That's right. We need that little clarity there. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Lampass is definitely on the list of things to do and places to go and things to see. It sounds like there's just so much history there, and it sounds like it's still, like it's still a quaint little place. What did you say, 7,000 people?
Yeah, 7,000 people. It is a quaint little place. It's not a big old city. You know, I hardly ever do stories about big cities because I love all the little towns in Texas and how they've survived and what they have become. And all of them have a story to tell. You know, that's the good part about it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always...
Yeah, they all have a story.
And that's the neat part, you know, to hear, you know, just... And you would never think, never in a million years could I have ever thought that you would describe a place or talk about a place that, you know, even just, you know, simple things like the Farmer's Almanac, I would never think that, you know, that would be part of, you know, the history of a town.
Yeah, it's called the Texas Almanac. Texas Almanac.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, the Texas Almanac started there.
Jeez. It's just
That's hard to believe.
It is. It's hard to believe. It's cool.
But can you believe all these places in Texas started like in 1856?
Yeah. Man.
I mean, way, way back. This Burleson, you know, he got 1,280 acres.
Jeez.
And so he's established land passes. I can't even believe that during the Texas Revolution, he did such a good job. They said, here, we'll give you this land.
I know it. Wow.
So he started a little town. And, of course, he started it right there on the river.
Wow. And the Miracle Springs.
And I guess it had beautiful springs. And I guess he couldn't smell the sulfur right then. So he went and established the town.
Maybe he had a cold at the time and couldn't quite tell.
That's right. That's right. That's probably what happened.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, it smells. Let's put a place here. Let's make this a destination.
That's right.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's right.
The
river is great.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, we're all looking for a place to go to kind of get away, at least for a little bit, and it sounds like this is what, because you've had probably hundreds of places that you've told us about that are nice and calm and, you know, historic and a great getaway, and, you know, there's fun things to do for the whole family, and it's nice and peaceful, and you've had tons and tons of places. This one will have to go on the list as well, I guess. Man. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You don't have any idea how many of these places you've told us about, have you? Like different towns and destinations?
Yeah, I don't. I've never thought about how many stories we have done about places and places to eat and things to eat. By the way, have you ever had candied jalapenos?
No. Oh, that sounds delicious.
I have a new recipe for candied jalapenos.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm thinking about that. We'll have to try it and see how it comes out.
Have you made it yet? Or
no, I haven't made it yet.
Really? Ooh.
Candied jalapenos.
Boy, you're going to have to make that at some point and tell us how it goes and how to make it. Because that
That's
sounds
right.
interesting.
I will try it, and then I'll tell you how to do it and whether it's worth doing.
It's worth doing.
Depends how hot this comes out, but it says, that it's going to be great because it's a candied jalapeno.
Mm-hmm. Well, jalapenos are delicious to begin with, but boy, I've
That's
never
right.
even thought of a candied jalapeno. Wow.
That's right. Hmm. Now there is candied jalapenos.
Wow. That's interesting. I'll be looking forward to that. Boy, look at what you've done. You're teasing stuff that you don't even know about yet. Wow. Cool. Oh, my word.
That's right. We'll try it, and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
If it's great, I'll give you the recipe.
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag. You, not only in trivia have you covered destinations, but you the food and recipes and things that you have covered, it's countless. The list is very, very long. And you really need to put these things in like some kind of a book or a something to share with more people because you've got just a huge collection.
I know we do have a really, really big collection.
Wow. What about the stock market? I hate to bring that up again, but are people still, when you talk to new investors that come over, are they still, in a place where, they're trying to like essentially stop the bleeding and, just halt the damage that maybe they're getting? Or what kind of feedback are you hearing from people?
Different things. The people that are coming over are definitely getting out of the stock market. A lot of them are worried. They're getting out. Some days it goes up. Some days it goes down. I think they can't rely on it right now. I would not rely on it. Everybody's saying, the recession is coming, and it's going to hit the stock market. There ain't any doubt about that. I don't know how good or bad it'll be, but they've all got notice on it. They've seen how far down it's gone. There's a warning out there. So I would get as much as I could out while I could. I mean, that's just personal now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of faith in it right now.
You think people will...
I haven't had any faith in it for several years.
I was fixing to say, wait a minute. You haven't been in there in a long time.
That's right. 2008, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And everybody says, will this recession be as bad as 2008? And I don't know. But you do know that all these lenders have laid all these mortgage people off.
Oh, I know it.
So the housing people are not going through with the mortgages. Chase laid off 100 to 200. Loan Depot, which is one of the biggest in the nation, has laid off 2,000 people last week.
Jeez.
The people here in Plano, Texas, laid off 425. So I'm telling you, they're not doing mortgages. The interest rate is over 5% on a house right now.
My God, man.
And they said that a lot of people are backing out of the sale of buying a house right now.
Are they really?
And I don't know how many. I don't know if it's reached Texas yet. But I know in other states, all these people are backing out and saying, no, I'm not going to go ahead and buy the house.
Man.
Because they don't want to pay the 5%.
Yeah, it's almost like, either buy a home or invest in the stock market at your own risk at this point. It's like the signs are all there. So, yeah, and speaking of risk,
right.
Even with a life settlement, there are risks. There are three. Do we,
there
are we
is
down
risk.
To two? Or what are we officially doing? Three or two?
I'm going to do two. Let's do two.
Okay.
The biggest risk you've got with this investment is it could go over. You could have to pay premiums. So you should know that up front. I tell you every week about it. I would always tell you if there's a risk, and there is, the risk is a premium call. So you should always know what the premium is when you buy a policy. When you buy into a policy, look at what we sent you. It'll tell you how much the premium is. So that's a good thing to know. That's your biggest risk. The second risk is it's not liquid till it matures. You cannot take money out of this investment until it matures.
But people are also...
that's your two risks.
You've got to be accredited to do it, so that's not really... it's not really even an issue for investors. Because so what does it mean, actually, to be accredited?
Well, in order to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must have $1 million in asset without your house. And some people came last week, and somehow or other, somebody had not qualified them. And they had to do annuities because they did not qualify. And, you know, we always ask them. My staff does. I always say, now you are accredited. Because the government says if you're not accredited, you can't come in. So we always want to make sure people are accredited.
Okay. And that, yeah, like you said, that's an official government regulation. That's not...
it is a government regulation. It's not my regulation. It's the government. They said you must be accredited.
Okay. And for those people, the people that came and talked to you that you opened with this past week, the husband had been listening. The wife wasn't quite as up to speed with how it works, but had a pretty solid understanding. I assume that they understand, you know, the risks and the accreditation part and you know, kind of all that aspect. Is that usually clear with people when they come in, or do you usually go over that with them?
No, usually we've already talked to them. I've talked to them on the phone. I've went through the accreditation. I've asked them, are you accredited? And they'll say yes. And lots of times they'll send me an email and say, I am accredited. I am interested. I need to talk to you and make an appointment.
Okay. Do you still run into people occasionally? I know you, at one point it was kind of a thing, where do you still run into new investors who may not think they're accredited, but maybe in reality they actually are? They've just forgotten about some assets or something?
Lots of times they haven't added everything up. And I always tell them, add everything up, make sure you are accredited.
Okay. It's worth going through the numbers because it does make a big difference. So.
Yes.
Okay. What about this coming week? You have availability to meet with people, I assume?
Yes. We will be meeting with people. We will be setting up new accounts. A lot of these people have 401ks. They're moving over to us. If they're 59 and a half, they can move their account over. Lots of times there's a penalty if you just flat take your money out. But if you roll it over, there's no penalty. A lot of people, their 401ks, after 10 years, you can take the money and roll it over. Some it's 15. Some you can't take it out at all. So you always need to call the HR department and see how much you can take out, or if you can take it all out, or a partial. And it becomes an IRA. And there's no taxes due until you take it out years later.
Okay. Cool. A good tip to avoid paying taxes, which is something we want to do.
That's right. You don't want to pay taxes unnecessarily.
No.
And you can do it direct from them to us. I had someone this week that thought they had to send it over to a brokerage house and then send it to us, and that's not true.
Okay. Much more efficient that way, and probably less costly as well.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's a lot more efficient.
So one last time for people to come make an appointment, come talk to you, come see you, get started, whatever they are in their journey, your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.